Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Feels fine. Just right now, trying to find it. Just grinding. Obviously, I mean, you guys are watching. I'm struggling. I don't know if I've ever pitched like this in my life. So, you know, tough spot to be in. But, you know, I got guys in here fighting, and I got to keep fighting. I mean, there's no giving up. You know, when something's not working, you got to go to something else. When that's not working, you go to something else and trying to find something. You know, I'm working. That only goes so far. This isn't, you know, the hard work league. This is a do-good league. So you got to start going out there and performing.
Again, I'll give the credit to Chris Sale for not coming up with any excuses. That's not his style. Never has been, probably never will be.
Accountability is always there with him, which is the nice part of it. But it's scary that it seems like he doesn't have any answers. Like, sickness is an answer. It is. He didn't feel right. Remember Gilmore got smoked in Tennessee, and everybody's like, wow, he's had stomach bug, and he ain't right. He was on IVs all day. Trent Brown running in and out. Chris Sale last year when, you know, he wasn't feeling right. Belly button issues and that joke and infection and I don't. Okay. And then Cora comes out and says he was sick last week. He was dealing with something. Dealing with a bug. Stomach bug. Okay. Well, maybe that's why he didn't have it. Then he comes out and he hits mid-90s early in the game, right? Then you just hear him just cracking the bat after that. Like, he's not. He didn't pitch for contact. He's not a sinker ball guy. Let's let him get hits, get it to the second baseman, let's throw it to first, let's get it to the shortstop, let's throw it to first. He's not that guy. And then they stole home on your ass.
Is it too early to talk about Chris Sale and be concerned about him?
What'd I say, three times through? How many times is he through?
Yeah, no, he's three times through now.
Now we can start talking.
Do you feel better or worse now that you've seen him go through three times than how you felt going into the season?
I feel extremely concerned.
Okay, so you feel worse, and I think most people do. Most people do. And when they sign this contract, the day they signed it.
Hey, you got a manager saying he's sick.
I will continue to ask this question. One. What would the premium have been for them to wait until the end of the season?
I don't know.
To sign him?
I don't know.
That part really was sort of awkward. And I put my faith in the Red Sox to know that he wasn't hurt and that he was fine and that last year was a minor thing. And that was wrong of me. I should not have put any faith in the Red Sox. In fact, I should think they're a bunch of stooges. Because I'm looking at it now thinking, what is this? Why would you have signed him and not waited until the end of the season? And if they hadn't signed him when they did, what would we think right now about the future of Chris Sale in Boston? We would think there wasn't a future in Boston for Chris Sale. Not pitching the way he's pitched through the first three starts. Granted, it's early in terms of full length of a season. There's plenty more pitching to come from Chris Sale, we hope. But I'm not alone in feeling that way, because this is what Jeff Passan wrote on ESPN just a couple of hours ago. Jeff Passan wrote, in setting up Chris Sale by saying that he has been one of the best pitchers in the major leagues for the better part of a decade. His two seasons in Boston have been beyond phenomenal. He is revered in the clubhouse, the organization, and the city. Jeff Passan, or Passan.
Jeff Passan,
as Mike O'Brien would say. That said, the reaction around baseball was the awkward marriage of puzzlement as why they did it and the giddiness that they actually did. So he's saying the people around baseball looked at it and said, what are they doing? Why are they doing that now? And furthermore, why are they so excited about it? Why are they excited about that deal? That's a market level deal. That's a deal that you could, you know, be in that same ballpark at the end of the year. Why are they all excited like they got some sort of steal on Chris Sale? What are they doing? So the rest of baseball is looking at the Red Sox going, what is up with that? And then Jeff Passan writes, among the mileage on his arm, the shoulder problems that disabled him twice last year, and the fastball velocity going AWOL, the warning signs were lit up like the Sitco sign. And the Red Sox had the perfect hedge. Sale was under contract for the 2019 season. If he looked good, rival executives figured, the Red Sox could extend him following the year. If not, he goes to free agency.
Yeah.
This Chris Sale signing has the possibility to really blow up in their face. It really does. And it could handcuff them down the road. It could.
ESPN's Jeff Passan.
I'm going to keep saying this. Do they think this looks better next year or the year after that or 3 years after that in the final year of that deal? Do they think this gets better?
I don't know. I mean, I go back to David Price, too, with the elbow issue, right? Is he going to say, shut him down? Is he getting Tommy John? Is he going to skip a year and a half and then somehow he figures it out? He's got tingles in his head. I don't know. Is this what guys do?
I think a lot of this is they have no farm system.
That
Dombrowski doesn't want to be viewed as the guy that's going to leave another team with nothing. So you almost have to sign Sale if you're going to, because what are you going to replace him with? There's nobody.
As Passan wrote, for those in Boston panicking about the Red Sox,
Big Eddie Rodriguez there. Yeah.
To a Red Sox championship team starting with a 3-9 record and the worst run differential in the American League, fear not. That thing in the distance, it's not the sky falling. It's just a smoke signal from luxury tax hell to warn that it's coming. Or wait, maybe it's actually the farm sending a message that the system is barren and needs help. Jeff Passan, painting a doom and gloom picture for the Red Sox.
ESPN's Jeff Passan.
That outlook based largely on the production of Chris Sale to this point.
In a drawing.
And by the way, it's not too early. It's not early anymore to talk about the Red Sox 3-9 record. You can truly.
We're there now.
The saying goes, you can't win the division in April. You can certainly lose it. You can. And I know that sounds extreme and sounds over the top, but the Red Sox need to start winning some games here.
Oh, really?
They need to start winning games soon, like now. You can't go another 2 weeks doing this. You can dig a very big hole in the month of April. I know that sounds silly to say.
Could you imagine getting into
May? But you can do it.
Could you imagine getting into May and still being 5-6 games back, under 500? Like, now you're starting to chase. Now you start looking at schedules.
Right now, yeah, I can totally believe it based on their 3-9 record.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're there to where we're starting to talk about it now. Like, okay, they talked their smack. Hey, we're coming home. We haven't played any home games yet. They had this awful, awful, you know, curse put upon them to start out on the West Coast against those crushing teams. Like, those weren't great teams they played.
Today's April 10th, right?
Yeah.
They lost their ninth game last year on May 3rd.
Oh.
22-9. Instead of 3-9.
Ooh.
I mean, they were a blistering pace last year, but they're still 19 games off the pace of last year.
Yep.
And 19-0 to match where you were last year.
You're getting to the point where now it puts pressure on the staff to where, okay, Porcello, you can't give us any more 3-inning starts. Eddie Rodriguez has got to be pretty good when he plays. I mean, when he pitches.
No, you know the scary part? When they have a 4-3 lead heading into the ninth inning and the bullpen blows it because they don't have a closer.
Oh.
That's going to really magnify it because you get off to a bad start.
We haven't even really got into that situation yet.
Barnes got whacked.
By the way, why is Barnes in the game yesterday?
Yeah.
Does anyone have
you're protecting a one-run deficit?
Explanation for that? Is Barnes the closer now or not?
What was going on there?
Or do we just use guys whenever we feel like it because
there really is
no well-defined closer, so it just doesn't matter?
No, it's the guy, whatever guy is that night, that's the closer.
I didn't understand why Barnes was in the game yesterday late. It didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. It didn't make any sense.
Well, the game they won over the weekend, they let Walden bat in a tie game because they had no pitching.
It feels like something just isn't right with the team yet either. There's just something not quite right with these guys, and returning home fixed nothing yesterday. They look like the same team.
Even in some of their defense, and even going back to some of the Price stuff like that, you know, we've been fighting this for, 2 years, and they're still relying on last year comments. You know, we are the World Series champs.
There was a lot of optimism there yesterday. Was there not to start the day? Rather optimistic day. Opening day, rings getting handed out. Celebrating championships. Everything about it was optimistic. It always is.
It's a good scene.
Opening day is always an optimistic day. And they crushed it. They did. They really did. Sucked the air right out of the ballpark.
The worst part is when Sale seemed to be struggling on that, the steal home, like it's just when a guy gets into a spot like, oh, here we go again, I'm not going to pay attention to the guy on third base. I'm going to go out of the windup and then throw a crazy pitch because I probably see him coming out of the corner of my eye.
Right.
Like the focus slips, it seems like, and that's a bad sign.
Well, Chris Sale is not a guy that typically deals with the mental problems of pitching, right? He's a guy, as he said many times, hey, I'm not smart enough to call off the catcher. Right, I'm not smart enough to shake him off. He puts down what he wants me to throw. I throw it.
Let me throw heat.
He calls it. I throw it. That's how this works. When you start to see him get mentally caught up in the game, as he did there, he was showing outward frustration, and you heard him speak after the game. That's sort of compounding the issue because he can't just go out and be himself.
This guy admits pee and vinegar. Like he performs with an edge. You know what I mean? Swagger. He has no swagger right now. He doesn't have confidence. How do you get confident? He's got to keep going out there grinding. How many times are you going to talk about this? We're three times through with him. So now you can start talking about it.
Five strikeouts per nine innings. Last year was 13 strikeouts per nine innings.
Jesus.
I mean, you can't be the same confident guy if you're not striking guys out at that rate.
More on the Red Sox. I see you holding. We got open lines as well. 617-779-0985. That and also the commissioner of baseball was in the house yesterday at Fenway, and you may not have caught this, but he threw Mookie Betts under the bus. I'll tell you how he did it next.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
If you saw anything to do with opening day yesterday at Fenway, you knew that the commissioner of baseball was in the park. He was in that receiving line for the rings, shaking every player's hand, high fives, just him and the guys, Rob Manfred, baseball commissioner.
Yeah, I like the old guy fist bumps.
Just trying to make inroads with the world champ players, trying to have some good relationships there, you know? Yeah. This commissioner sucks. You know my thoughts on this guy. You know my thoughts on Rob Manfred.
God drives a hearse.
That baseball's worse off because of it. Yeah. Here's what Rob Manfred had to say on radio yesterday, of course, on the Red Sox Radio Network. We can't play that, but I went back and listened to it and accurately quoted the commissioner, so I knew exactly what it is that he said. Heard this yesterday in the car.
As did I.
Couldn't believe my ears.
Yep.
Could not believe that he was actually going down this road. And I think he caught himself because he didn't continue down the road, but here's how it went. The question from Lou Maloney, was related to what David Price had said about Mookie Betts. And, you know, how do you feel about the marketing of players in your game?
Right.
And here was the answer. Direct quote. Well, we accept responsibility for marketing our stars as aggressively as possible. The fact of the matter is, Mookie was invited to be in the Let the Kids Play commercial. And for whatever set of reasons, it didn't work out. Right there, I said, you've got to be kidding me. You're stating this just as the casual facts of the situation, but you're letting people know, well, we invited him to be in a commercial and he wasn't in that commercial.
I have a question. What the hell is the Let the Kids Play commercial? Is this like what we're supposed to know, this popular, commercial that everybody refers to in the game?
I've seen it.
Okay, I know you've seen it.
I've seen it.
But I'm like, Joe Schmo. And what you're supposed to do with a marketing campaign is attract all these other fringe people in to make a guy popular.
I think you've probably seen it, too. It has Griffey in it. They're talking about let the kids play. But anyway. He says that Mookie was invited to be in the commercial and then just goes to, but for whatever set of reasons, it didn't work out.
They said rules are rules. Don't stop and stare.
Awesome.
Toss that bat 30 feet into the air.
I've seen it.
Okay.
When do they play that?
on television.
I know.
That, was, like, their, that was their big postseason commercial.
Okay, yeah. Good. Because I'll be sitting there at times, and all of a sudden I'll see Aaron Rodgers with the double count.
So for whatever count, set of check, reasons, you know? It didn't work out. He wants like, to let you know
more.
That, he wants to let you know that they invited him, and he didn't do it.
So in your face.
So here we go again. Once again, you threw Mike Trout under the bus.
Yeah, last year.
I mean, directly tossed him under the bus and then went forwards and reversed a couple of times over him to make sure he was dead last year. That's what they did with Mike Trout in the postseason. This one's just a drive-by. This was a drive-by under the bus from Rob Manfred on Mookie Betts yesterday. But that's what he had to say. He went on to say, we see him as a very, very marketable player. But the larger picture is this. And then again, here he goes again. The Let the Kids Play commercials have been really successful in terms of getting exposure for our players.
So that's it? You can stop there?
Again,
that's
with it? This commercial.
Just one? We're just going to do one
there's
commercial.
More, no, there's more of those. It's a series of commercials. Okay. That's why he's talking about it. The one that is most well known is the Griffey one. But here we go again with his commercial. Well, you know, we're inviting these guys in these commercials. They're not showing up for whatever set of reasons. Don't look at me. Yeah. Look at your players. He then goes on to say, we have a huge social media program that we started this year that 140 major league players have signed up for in an effort to build their individual brands with our help. Is that the highlights package that we read about the other day? They're offering up highlights for the players to be able to post on their social media channels.
It's nice.
Well, that's huge.
That's highlights. Nice. Yeah.
They're not going to take them down if they just post them on their own.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're... If you go through their program, they'll allow you to post highlights of yourself on social media without MLB Advanced Media taking down every clip on the internet of anything to do with baseball.
There's a Facebook page that's like a Patriots video Facebook page. And Pats fans probably know about it, right?
Yeah.
And it's got every video.
Unauthorized, right? But amazing.
Yes, awesome. They got everything that comes out from the NFL is on there. Nothing gets taken down ever. Yep. Baseball, that when the Patriots came out from...
We come in and defer to that, and we go in and look at that stuff in those videos during the football season.
And it's great, organic, yet I know not technically legal marketing, but they let it stay because it helps their sport, their brand, and it makes more people more engaged with their product.
I'm scrolling through yesterday. That page had a... with the Patriots players coming out from the Green Monster, but it wasn't... It was like filming the TV version of that, like when you film your TV with your phone.
Yeah.
It wasn't the real video, like raw video, which they always post that raw video up there. It's great. But the MLB version, because it's an MLB stadium, an MLB broadcast, it was the guy with the camera filming his TV version.
So that it didn't get pulled down.
Just the slight difference between baseball and everybody else. In the NBA, you can do anything. NBA, everything's out there.
So, again, Rob Manfred talking about Mookie not doing the commercial, then talking about their stupid social media program where they allow their players to post highlights. That's going to bring them all in. And then he goes to a third example by saying, and I'll give you a third example. I actually commented to a couple of players as they went through the line getting their rings today.
Huh.
You know, we've changed rules that have been long-held traditions in baseball related to footwear. I'm sorry, I have to stop right there. What are the long-held traditions of footwear in baseball?
I remember in the 80s, you're too young, Beetle, but when I was like 7, 8, 9, and the stuff like the uniforms, like that stuff like mattered to me, like you would see like a Daryl Strawberry wearing the bright white sneakers in the All-Star game only, the bright white cleats, all white, and it would look cool, but he wasn't allowed to wear them in the game for
some
reason.
Right, but my question is, what are the long-held traditions that we all wanted to cling to that was stopping baseball from telling guys, wear whatever cleats you want?
They were just the rules.
Man, they were just the stupid rules that someone at MLB enacted at some point that no one cared about.
What's
the long is, you know, give us credit for changing our long-held traditions related to footwear. What the hell are you talking about? No one gave a crap about what the guys were wearing for footwear. And so he goes on to say, and we've done that to allow players to have relationships with footwear companies that increase their exposure and marketing.
I thought one of the coolest things was the A's back in the day when they were like one of the few teams that had the all-white, you know, all-white cleats.
Yeah, I think if the whole team did it, you could do it, right?
It was Canseco and all of them. Yeah, yeah, that was awesome.
He says, so we're working hard on this issue. I understand some people think we should do better, but it's something that is a major focus for us. That is Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball. I interpret all that as complaining about Mookie Betts bragging about his weak social media program and then going on to say, and pat us on the back for allowing our players to choose their cleats. Do you know how ridiculous you sound?
Well, doesn't Pat
Swan White have any self-awareness on the issue?
No.
Of how out of touch and how old they sound? They sound old. They sound out of touch. They don't sound fun. They don't sound interesting.
I listened to that yesterday,
They're
too.
Certainly not capturing the imaginations of anybody who's young.
And almost listening to him for that long tenure, and anyone on TV and did the same thing again, too, it reaffirms everything or whatever preconceived notion you have is length, pace of play, the game. And then he talked about, too, we just kind of, I did away with the pitch clock because we kind of swapped that out, for the betterment for the players. They wanted that, so I got rid of the pitch clock. Not a big deal. And he talked about the Cuba thing, kind of brushed that off, too. There are things bigger than that, than just the game. We understand it. We thought we had a nice little deal there, but that is what it is. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for reaffirming everything that you already believe about the game.
Chris is in Connecticut. Hi, Chris.
Hey, morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for hanging.
Hey, listen, I watched the game yesterday, and I was very disappointed. That green monster, any pitcher that goes in there, especially if you go to Fenway, it feels like you can touch the wall. Sale was completely mesmerized on how close that wall felt to him. He did not challenge anyone inside with a fastball, even when they were bunting on him. First rule in baseball is you throw the ball inside. He's throwing sliders, so the ball's actually down, helping the guy bunt. So his whole mentality, I think the monster got to him. He knows he's not ready. I think that he's going to go ahead and figure that out. But my call really is about, Cora saying that we're going to go ahead and we're going to stay on the same page. We don't want to flip it. Well, when you go ahead and you take Mookie Betts out of the leadoff, you have to really understand Betts and Benintendi are two different hitters. Betts is a reactionary hitter. His hands are extremely quick, extremely quick. Benintendi, he is a conscious hitter. He came up where he's actually learning from the guy in front of him. I would want him in the two hole to learn from how they're pitching to Betts rather than him learning how they're pitching to Vasquez. And Bradley really should be in the nine hole. What do you guys think?
I think that right now it doesn't matter because Bradley's just not hitting the baseball. And that new swing of his has done nothing for him. He stinks. Same player. Got to make some great catches in center field, I'm sure, this year. Can't hit a lick. You can put him anywhere in the lineup. Doesn't matter. Doesn't make a difference. Wouldn't have made a difference yesterday. Lineup is not the issue on this team.
Not right now, it isn't.
Did he mention Vasquez? What was his point on the catching situation there?
What, calling the game?
No, lineup-wise.
Oh. I don't know. At some point, too, don't you have to figure out what Swihart is to and just let him go? Meaning play more and give him more at-bats and all that if he's so good at that athletic that, and I heard Maz talking about this, too, that the glove location's not right yet and all that. But at some point, don't you have to just keep playing that guy?
Well, they are.
Figure it out.
It's not.
I know, but you want more. I want more. I want to figure out what this guy
there.
Is. I understand.
It's what it is.
Yeah.
Joel is in Rentham. Joel.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi.
So I just did a little quick deep dive, and I have a really cool stat for you. It's the Chris Sale strikeout per nine innings over the past 4 years in April and May.
Okay.
You ready for it?
Yep, let's hear it.
Never mind. Who cares? We're talking about the Red Sox in April. The Bruins play Toronto tomorrow night in the first round. What are we doing? Come on, guys.
Yeah, it's not the story today. Sorry, Joel.
See, we should have known that because you can't do a quick deep dive.
I,
the two things are mutually exclusive.
I got something to say here.
We'll talk about the Bruins?
I got
tomorrow when they have a game.
I got something to say.
So that caller thinks we're doing a deep dive right now?
No, he's mocking us for doing a deep dive
on baseball stats.
Yeah, right. No, he's just pissed that we're talking baseball and not talking about his Bruins.
I tell you what, you Bruins fans, boy.
Well, the problem is they wait a week to start these series. Jeez. Why couldn't they start the series last night?
I've got a number of Bruins thoughts. You know what I'm saving them for? Tomorrow when they play.
Oh, good.
So we'll talk Bruins tomorrow.
Nice.
We will have Bruins on the events, the list of events tomorrow. Bruins, for sure. Yes. They're playing a game tomorrow night.
I think we're pretty good at talking about what the hits are. We play the hits. We talk about what's important. What's, we come in and I think we're all on the same page.
And you know what else I like to talk about? I like to talk about what people watched. And yesterday they watched the Red Sox. In fact, they've been watching the Red Sox all year long. We have games that we could talk about that have happened.
Post-game. I never watch post-game. I watch post-game. Someone was invested yesterday.
Sorry.
That's what I watch. And we're talking about it.
I apologize.
So suck on it. Jesus.
How dare you talk about the Red Sox opener, home opener.
Right.
They've been talking about it.
That's the same guy that keeps
wait
calling
till we get
bitch
home.
About not talking Bruins.
You're
and
home.
I've yet to hear him call and actually offer a Bruins take
no.
of any kind.
No.
That's like the third time he's done it.
Can you play the goal song?
Hardy has headlines.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
First, our introduction. Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Listen, all you mother. 11:40. I'm so lacking for trash.
So just realized he's on TV.
Yep. So got up to shut the door and then we decided to dance in front of the cameras.
We've managed to keep it a secret for 7 months.
It's like Truman Show. You know, he just figured it out. He started to get suspicious. He started walking to all corners of the rooms trying to get out.
Can we go downstairs?
It was like when you take one of your kids into CVS and they see themselves on the security TV up there. Yeah.
You want me to go get Richie downstairs? I know we're on TV. We're going to bring Richie back.
I don't think that's necessary.
I'll be calling Richie.
I don't think that is necessary. Let's go to Mark in Medford. He's got a thought on the Red Sox. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey.
What's up there? I know, for God's sakes, even I call about the Bruins.
I know, you're a Bruins guy.
I'm not a Red Sox fan, too.
Oh, no, I know you're a Yankee fan.
But I do have to ask this question. I mean, first of all, I know there's a lot of baseball left to be played in April. I mean, they play pretty much every day. But if they don't turn this ship around and they continue to play this poorly and they find themselves, say, 13, 14 games out by May, is this going to be a hard hole for them to dig themselves out of?
Absolutely.
And you look at the Yankees right now. The Yankees are pretty much depleted in their starting lineup. I can't say DL anymore, so I won't. But I mean, they're only one game under 500, and they're in second place. The Red Sox have a fully healthy squad, same team as last year, minus Kimbrel, and they suck.
Yeah, that's part of the problem, too. You know, every baseball team goes through injury, right, over the course of a season. They're healthy right now, and they're losing games. They're healthy.
I don't really follow the Yankees. Aren't the Yankees a little banged up?
They've been banged up.
They're getting through. They're fighting through injury.
They're finding
right?
a way through it right now.
They're mashing their way through it.
Yes.
I thought I saw a glitch here. I thought I saw 15.
Sanchez, three home runs. They had three guys hit multi-home run games over the weekend.
How's my boy Voit?
Now, that would be a good Who Jacked It contest.
Oh, my God.
We should do a Yankees Who Jacked It. Would be.
We could do doubles. Yeah, like, Who Jacked It Harder?
We're getting to a point where it's not about it's too early anymore. It's too early. We got to stop saying that. We're now into the middle of April. They've played enough games that you don't have to say it's early anymore. You have to turn the corner. You have to start winning ball games. And we thought that there could be some sort of change in the team yesterday getting back home, and there was none of that. They didn't show any of that. By the way, one more thing from Rob Manfred. Pitch clock. Talked about that on Nesson. He also visited the Nesson booth. After he was in the radio booth yesterday, he was in the Nesson booth, which was fabulous because
it had both
Remy and Eck in the booth yesterday.
Well, they nailed that one.
Here he is talking about the pitch clock.
You know, most of what's been going on talked about is the speed of the game, right?
you're going to implement that 20-second clock. You didn't end up doing that. I don't know if that's going to happen next year. Going forward, you know, the three face batters by a reliever and that. And I know you're trying it out somewhere this year.
Right. You know, we traded off the clock this year. I think an important principle we've tried to adhere to is if we're going to change the game on the field, we should do it by agreement with the players. I think that's an important concept. So we traded off the clock in order to get the new roster rules next year.
Another one to the warning track, but McKinney will grab that. Martinez with a long drive for an out, two gone.
We felt that, you know, playing with 40 players in September, it slowed the game down in September. And your most important games, you're playing under different rules. The time had come to fix that. So we thought that was a significant change. It was something the players could agree to. We think the three-batter minimum will be something that will alter the mix between relievers and starters, something that has changed dramatically in recent years, and hopefully put some more action back in the game.
You as a baseball fan, serious baseball fan, do you want to see a pitch clock in baseball?
I am a fan of the pitch clock. Mm-hmm. I am. And you know, it was hard for me to trade off it, but there were two things that really motivated me. First, I wanted an agreement with the players. And secondly, I thought the things we were getting back in it were significant changes that will be helpful to the game over the long haul.
Oh, God. Spare me, Manfred. Spare me.
There's not one player that agreed or liked
that. By the way,
clock.
That was not all consecutive. We edited that second answer onto the back half of the other answer, which is, no, I'm a fan. I want the pitch clock. But let me tell you, boy, did I turn that into a bargaining chip overnight. I have a unilateral right.
You have more of a hate for this commissioner than, yeah. I mean, I get it for Goodell and Bettman and stuff, but it's like, he hasn't really done anything outwardly wrong. You just hate him for the stuff that he doesn't do quite right.
Inaction is what I hate him for, Hardy. In fact, I think my reasons for hating Rob Manfred are far more legitimate than the reasons of, oh, you came after the Patriots, I hate you, Rob. Stop it.
You hate ineptitude more than wrongdoing.
Yes. Yes. Inaction is worse than making a mistake in actually doing something.
Okay.
My reasons for hating this guy is that he is saying one thing and then he's not doing anything. And here he goes again, telling us how big of a fan he is of the pitch clock. Rob, let me give you a refresher course on this. Bobby, the refresher course is this. You signed a CBA that gave you the right to put in the pitch clock without asking anybody. You then took that right back and said, well, I won't do it if you give me X, Y, and Z. And you're going to continue to use that as a bargaining chip to get a bunch of crappy rules put into place. Three batter minimum, one single trade deadline, roster chip. What are we doing here, Rob? Those are things that nobody cares about. And my biggest issue with this guy, Hardy, is that he is not acting in the best interests of baseball and its fans, which is his job. He's just bending over for the players. Whatever they want, they get. And the players are on the wrong side of the rule changes in this sport. The players have it wrong. David Price has it wrong. I think it was Max Scherzer, right? He's got it wrong. All those guys do. Was it Scherzer? Who am I thinking of? That was very much against the pitch clock. Do I have that right? I feel like it was Max Scherzer that had some things to say about
it. Yeah, it was
that.
Scherzer. Yeah.
Scherzer, Price.
Said he would just step off every time.
Yeah, Scherzer said he's going to step off the mound every time to avoid the rules. Those guys have it wrong. They are not acting in the best interests of baseball. They're acting in the best interests of themselves and their bad habits that nobody cares to sit there and watch, taking a minute in between pitches. So that's my issue with this guy. And his marketing of his player. Give me a break. Oh, God. This is the guy who's willing to throw Mookie Betts and Mike Trout under the bus to deflect and take no responsibility. That's not a good commissioner. No. Not a good commissioner at all.
Those guys don't want to be involved in marketing. Maybe your marketing sucks. Maybe you need better marketing.
And maybe you're not good at it. What is baseball good at as
they
a,
don't
league,
want to do something
as a
that's,
league?
They don't want to do something that's uncool. Those players nowadays don't want to do stuff that's uncool. They want to do stuff that's interesting and different.
I don't know.
Let's start that list.
I think that sport, they're so consumed with time and the length of the sport and the amount of games that they really don't want to spend time doing that stuff.
As a league, what is it
that... Cut the damn games down.
As a league, what is it that baseball does really well? As a league compared to their contemporaries, their other leagues, you know, what are they doing better than anybody else, whether it be MLB, NHL, NBA, NFL. What does baseball do better than those leagues?
Analytics. Which in turn makes the game boring.
Is that from a league standpoint?
Do they do it in the league office
or do the teams that adopt
it.
Analytics?
You don't want to nerdify.
I don't think that's a league.
Don't they have the spin rate and all that stuff that they've done? Isn't that part of their rate.
Like, I've heard that a lot lately.
Spin rate. Heard that a lot. Spin rate last week.
They take care of their athletes.
Yeah.
That's true.
Their union.
Yeah, but not the union.
Nope.
They agreed to a contract where the athletes are
fully guaranteed.
Well taken care of.
You get hurt, you're taken care of. You don't have to worry about your money. That's true. That's what they've got over everybody else. Yeah. And that's existed for a very long time in that league. What have they done for you lately? As a fan, what have they done for you? Baseball.
What we got coming up next?
Bobby Manfred.
They're limiting mound visits.
They lost track
of him yesterday. Did you notice that? Was that three or is that four now? Yeah, they might only have one left.
Okay. 617-779-0985. The telephone
4 hours
number.
For that yesterday. Could you imagine? Get in your seats by 12:45 and then sitting through a nearly 4 hour game.
I thought it was wonderful. I thought the crowd looked robust at the end of the day. Really.
You know who I saw? Guy with the Wheaties jacket.
You did? Yeah.
In the crowd.
Oh, we saw him at the...
I saw him in a crowd, though. Like, he's standing up cheering.
It's a great jacket. Fabulous jacket. We're right back here on Zolak and Bertrand. Also, yesterday, something that could impact the Celtics, that was Magic Johnson calling it quits in one of the most bizarre impromptu press conferences in sports. We'll get to that coming up at noontime.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
The phone number. Jim is in Melrose today on Chris Sale and the Red Sox. Hi, Jim.
Hey, don't you guys think that if Chris Sale didn't pitch naked, he'd be fine?
I don't know what to do with that. I don't know. You find that really funny.
Hey, people are pissed for talking baseball. I think I might want to do 4 hours today on baseball.
Go.
Pitch naked.
Go ahead. I'm waiting. Have at it.
We do magic now.
He'd probably pitch naked if he had a 14-inch break on his curveball.
Zoe started his baseball talk at 11:57 and 40 seconds. At 11:57 and 30 seconds, he was tired of talking baseball.
When's the first Yankee series? Jesus Christmas.
Yeah.
Next week.
Bring him in.
Yankee fan Zoe is only looking forward to the Yankee series.
How many home runs will Voit hit next
year?
That's all I want to know.
Absolutely root for the Yankees because you like the Yankees.
I just want to see Voit do well.
You're a Yankee guy.
Jim hates Voit. So Voit reminds me of Nick Swisher, which is great. He's kind of like the new age Swisher, Swishalicious. So if Voit could take him deep, that'd be good. That'd be good for that series. Drive Jim crazy. So there's your baseball talk.
And it's officially over at 11:58 and 30 seconds.
You wonder why. Yeah. Chris Sale pitch naked. At what point was he naked yesterday?
Whole time you didn't see it.
I was in the car. They didn't tell you.
That's why Eck kept saying Johnson.
I don't know why he didn't have his clothes on out there.
Oh, he's saying Johnson.
And he looks really lean out there. Looks like he shaved his chest last week. Chris used to shave his chest 8 years ago, back when he was in, you know, prior to being in Chicago. One time he used his scissors, cut up his uniforms. Now he trims his hairs with it.
I can stop. Joe's a legend.
That Manfred thing. It's 2-2 outside. There's a foul ball.
It's right through it. I'm watching the game. You do the interview.
Oh, boy. What a sport.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Yesterday, as you've probably heard by now, Magic Johnson went to the group of assembled media members and said, let's have a press conference. Let's have a press conference. I quit. You quit? Yeah, and I didn't even tell my boss yet. That's the summary of the press conference yesterday. What does it mean for the Celtics? What does it mean for the offseason?
I got some takes on this,
as
too.
It relates to the Celtics. Because, of course, Magic and the Lakers will have a tie to the Celtics.
Do you think he shook his Magic 8-ball to make a decision?
Shake it up!
Yeah.
I want to shake him.
We'll get to that in 9.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.